Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's model prayer. We read, beginning with verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I focus our attention particularly on the request in verse 10. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Would you turn with me also to Philippians chapter 2? Going to just take a few selected verses. Philippians 2:13 reads, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure is a parallel expression of His will. Colossians chapter 1. Paul gives a list of requests that he makes before the Lord for Colossians. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Turning to Hebrews chapter 6. I read with verse 11. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I'm sorry, it must be chapter 10 and verse 6. Nope, it's not 10, verse 6. Okay, the verse that I'm looking for, it says, after having, ye have need of patience, that after having done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. Pardon me? Yeah, that's certainly one of the verses that we factor in, to do thy will, O God, a quotation of Christ from Psalm 40. Okay, it's 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So that suffices to say that God's will is a very important subject for His people. And I would like to speak on God's will on earth. God's will on earth. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to make this request regularly. We see three things in that request: God's will, which is His pleasure, His desire, that He requires of us. Secondly, that heaven is a place where there is perfect obedience to His will, for it says, Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. And the third thing is, the earth is to aim high. we are to pray that we would do God's will as it is being done in heaven. How is it being done in heaven? Well, some of that will be discovered as we continue in the message. But His will is certainly done knowledgeably in heaven. They know what His will is. There's no doubt. There's no mystery involved for them. His will is done perfectly. His will is done with great zeal. His will is done willingly. What is God's will for your life and for mine? Why is it such a mystery? Why is this subject so appealing to people? Seems like people want to flock to a message that relates to God's will. And I think we all understand that people who are searching for specifics in their life are flocking to such messages because maybe in that message they'll find that specific answer that they so desperately want. And I'm relating to, for instance, a person who's looking for a job or who's looking for a mate or who's looking for a particular calling. That is a very important subject and need in their lives. But what is God's will? Doesn't it seem simple? Whatever He wants us to do or whatever He wants us not to do. To keep the precepts and to avoid the prohibitions. Isn't that God's will? To love the Lord and to love your neighbor. Isn't it that simple? Isn't that the end of the matter? No, I think we ask, well, how do I love the Lord and how do I love my neighbor? And what about the specifics that relate to my life? You see, love isn't an infallible guide because we need our love to be guided, or it becomes lust. There are a lot of factors involved that we just can't say, well, let love take its course. We have sinful flesh, a body that's not redeemed. We have those who tempt us to do wrong. We have misplaced priorities that we need help in making sure that we rearrange them properly. We have false teachers out there that lead us astray. We have wrong counsel from well-meaning people. At times we're ignorant of the truth, and so we can't just let love take its course. Misapplication of truth, again. So there are many factors involved that prevent us from doing God's will, and we need not only to pray that we might know His will, but that we might do it appropriately. There are many specifics, of course, in God's will for our lives that are not spelled out in the Bible. It is spelled out that we are to tell the truth. But I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it gives me the name of my wife or the name of the person. Now, certainly we are told what kind of person we ought to marry. It says only in the Lord. So there are certainly some definites that we can conclude about who we are to marry. But there are obviously many specifics not spelled out. Who exactly we're to marry, where we are to attend school, where are we to work, what activity should we be engaged in? There are so many that I could engage in. How much time do I allow for worship or for recreation or for amusement? There are a lot of things that we would like to see spelled out. But frankly, the mystery therefore remains among God's people often. We need to factor the mysteries in. Well, is that somewhat of a comfort to you and me? I believe the Bible teaches that we factor these mysteries in. We leave the mysteries to God. And we concentrate on the well-known things. And the mysteries will fall into place. Are you concentrating on what you know is God's will and leaving what you don't know to Him? I do think that that is a key to the truth about God's will. Leave the mysteries for Him to reveal. Job didn't know why he was being tried, and he sought certainly to delve into it. But God, as far as we can tell, never told him the reason. He certainly knew he was being tried, and did conclude that it must be for his good. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But he was never told why that he was tried, and why, what were the circumstances. Peter wanted to know how he would die, or how long he would live, remember? What about, first of all, he was curious about John. Jesus told Peter, well, Jesus did tell Peter that he would die for him. You're going to be carried where you wouldn't desire to be carried. You're going to basically die a martyr's death. And he wanted to know about John. Always want to know about the guy next to us. How will Daniel fare in Babylon? I wonder if they wondered that. How will Joseph fare in Egypt? Did they know the specifics of what they were going to meet with? I would dare say that we would not want to know a whole lot of specifics. There are a lot of things we want to know, but of course there are a lot of things that we don't want to know. You remember in that film of The Time Changer, he was told, don't delve into your future. And he went to that computer and he wondered if he just touched that one button, they would show when he died, or perhaps how he died. And I don't know if you and I would want to know the year of our death, if the Lord tarries, or the way that we're going to die, or all the temptations and all the trials that we're going to experience in the future. Sufficient to the day is the calamity, right? Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. But we all are really eager to know some things in the will of God that we regard as very pleasant. But the Lord will often let us wait another moment or another day, and it seems too long for us. But it is critical for us to know and do God's will. Matthew 7:21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It is a very important subject. 1 John, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so we want to know God's will. We want to be in the kingdom of heaven. We want to abide forever. And so we want to do his will. The question is, what is his will, isn't it? So I want us to think about the keys to God's will on earth. First of all, may I start with the fact that we need to be willing to do God's will. We have to start there. We're not starting with a what. We're starting with a will. We're not starting with God, as it were. He's putting it back in our lap. Are we willing to do his will? The Bible talks about God working us to will and then to do of his good pleasure. And even as the Lord Jesus prayed, he said, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And what are we saying? Thy will be done in my life. We're saying whatever it is. It's talking about the willingness. Your pleasure be done, your desire, your specifics, your schedule, your list of do's and don'ts in my life. The will comes before the what. Jesus said, if any man will do his will. Now, it's not a future tense. It's not saying if any man shall do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. It is a verb to will. He's saying if any man desires to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. In other words, the Lord Jesus said, a willing man will be a wise man, because I will guide him. I will guide a willing man. I will not guide an unwilling person. A willing person will know the doctrine. In other words, a willing person will have a wisdom, will have understanding. A willing person will be led by the Lord. Philippians, again, he works in us to will. He energizes our desire first, and then the accomplishment. Remember when Saul of Tarsus was met by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus? finally said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Jesus didn't answer him on the what at first. He basically answered him, just be willing. He said, just go into Damascus and I'll tell you what I want you to do. In other words, he worked on Paul's will first. He saved him, didn't he? And he worked on his will. Paul asked the what, and the Lord said, the will. What wilt thou have me to do? Go into Damascus, and it will be told you. In other words, I'll tell you in a little while. First of all, you wait on me. First of all, I'm going to work in your heart for 3 days and humble your pride and rework your character and mold you. And you remember in chapter 22, Paul goes on to say that Ananias told him that God has appeared to you that you might know his will, that you might see his just one, and that you might suffer for his name's sake. So it was important for him to know God's will. But the first thing that was important in Paul's life was to be willing to do whatever it was. It's not a matter of, oh, okay, Lord, tell me your will, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to do it. And isn't that the way we are sometimes? Let me know first before I decide whether I'm going to do it. And therefore, often God's people are not led. They're unknowing because they're unwilling. And I wonder how much is not revealed to me simply because I'm unwilling to receive it if it came. I wonder how much of the Scripture is not open to me because he knows I wouldn't be willing to receive it if my will's not ready yet. And the Lord did say, by the way, there are certainly things that they were not ready to receive it. He says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Jesus spoke as they were able to hear it. But the point here is that God's people need to just be willing to do whatever God says. And until then, he's not going to reveal things to us, is he? We always look, and that's a parent's wisdom, to look into the willingness of the child. You know, you may ask a child to do something, a son or daughter, and then end up they can't do it for whatever reason. But the point is, they need to be willing to do it. And of course, we need to be gracious, as I spoke about this morning. We need to be firm. But there needs to be that challenge of the will. Are we willing to do it? And of course, people can see whether we're willing. I told you the story of being told at the end of a long day. I had had classes at the university, and I had worked from 5 till 9 o'clock, and I had punched out, and the punch clock, the time clock, was way in the corner of the store, and the store was about the size of Walmart down in Springville today, and I was all the way to the front, ready to go out, ready to go home, and I had to study for the next day. Phil, I want you to go all the way back to the store and do this. And I wasn't happy. And I turned around, and he knew I wasn't willing. And you could see it just brazened him. It upset him. And he had the spirit, I'm going to give him something else to do, and something else, and something else, until he's willing. But you know, it was the soft answer that broke the bone. As I returned after doing whatever he told me, I apologized to him. His name was Mr. Rochester. And it's just like it just melted him. And he said, that's okay, have a nice night. But, you know, I wasn't willing. But the Lord wants us to be willing. He'll work on our will. The first thing for God's people is to obtain and maintain a willingness to God's sovereign ownership in our lives. See, God's the one that created us. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that grows us. And he's the one that leads us. That's the context of Romans 11. Remember that those famous verses that we like to quote, but are we willing to obey? Romans chapter 11. We read, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and He's the source. Through Him, He's the conduit, and to Him, He's the end of all things. Are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. In other words, Paul ends the section of the sovereignty of God and salvation, chapters 9 to 11, with those statements. He's a God, He's an awesome God. And in that atmosphere, in that context, he says, I beseech you, therefore, since He is in control of the salvation of your soul, He's also in control of the sanctification of your soul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the covenant mercies of God, that you present your bodies. He saved your soul by His sovereign choice. And now is it up to you to guide your soul? No. You present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's the willingness. Notice the will of God in verse 2. The willingness comes first. Present your bodies. Here's the subsequent. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see how he starts with, you present yourself to the Lord. If you're willing to do His will, if you submit to Him, He will give you grace to prove. What does that mean? To approve, to find out, to gain the evidence of, to prove. What is that good? It's good. Even if it may be difficult, it's good. Whatever is the will of God for us is good. Is acceptable. We should accept it. Without complaint, and it's perfect. It will perfect you and me. But the willingness comes first. The willingness comes first. Paul said, what wilt thou? He had both in there, didn't he? What is your will, but what wilt thou? The Lord focused on the wilt. But Paul was right, wasn't he? Focusing on the will. Even the leper, you can see the leper's submission. Remember, he came to the Lord and he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And the Lord was blessed by that. The Lord was not blessed by the man that said, if you can do this, do it for me. Remember the other man that had the boy that kept casting himself in the fire, and the disciples couldn't heal him, couldn't deal with the demons. And the man said, came to the Lord, if you can help me, help me. And the Lord says, no, if you can believe. He turned it around and says, I can. I'm able. Are you able to believe? Are you able to trust me? You see, Jesus came willingly to do God's will. And someone quoted that earlier in Hebrews. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That was his desire. In John, he says, I do always the things that please Him. Not my will. Up to the very end was Christ's desire to do God's will. Not my will, but thine be done. My meat and drink and my everything is to do the will of God and to finish His work. And remember, we're not just talking initially in our Christian lives, but all the way to the end. We want an initial. It is good how we start. You know, some people say it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, I think that's true, but it's only half true. It is important how we start. But I think that they were factoring in that sometimes we backslide, and we certainly would rather, if there was any backslide, we would rather it was earlier than later in our lives. But I do think it's very important to initially start well, and to continue to do well and to finish with a willingness to do God's will. In other words, He wants us to be zealous to do His will. It says that in the Acts, for instance, they determined to send relief to the poor saints, and they did it. You see, the will was there first. Again, they were forward to do, as another verse says in Galatians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. You see how the will is first? Be diligent to come unto me. Those words, diligence, endeavoring, determined, forwardness, are all words of the will. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Is it important to you? That's what he's trying to say. It should be important to you. Are you concerned about your soul? Are you concerned about whether you're in Christ? Are you concerned about others? It's not just a dead fact. He wants it to be a heart realization. It says of Mary when she was told that Elizabeth was with child. It says she went into the hill country in haste. Oh, how she wanted to be there and share the blessing. Are you wanting to do God's will in haste? Or are you wanting to drag your feet? I think of Abraham, who was told to sacrifice his son. And no doubt there was a great wrestling all night, but he arose early in the morning to do it. You know, it would have been easy to arise early if God said, you're going to go and get a blessing. But he said, go and sacrifice your son. And he arose early. Talks about, you know, obviously saying that he was zealous. He was wanting to do God's will. But I do believe that Hebrews or Romans tells us that it was because that he determined that, believe that God could raise him from the dead. He would raise him if he indeed killed him. So, the willingness to do God's will is very first of importance. Is that so with us? It's where we start. That's where God starts. That's where we start every day. Do we wake up every day with a willingness? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do today? Lord, let me be willing to accept whatever you put in my way. Do we accept? You know, if we're willing to do God's will and our heart's in it, we won't complain when there's a flat tire or where there's a change in the schedule. You know how major a change that volcano made in Europe and even in America? I mean, you're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars lost in the airline industry and thousands of people's schedules absolutely changed, vacations canceled, marriage or weddings and funerals unable to attend, people having to sleep like in refugee camps in airports, people who exhausted all of their finances for a few days in a hotel, having to leave their hotels to go sleep on cots or on cardboard in hotels. If that happened to you and me, would we be able to say, Lord, surely all this will work for good for me? We have to start with the will, brother and sister. Willingness to do God's will. Secondly, God's will on earth. The knowledge of God's will. The knowledge will come if the will is there. Teach me to do thy will. What wilt thou have me to do? Filled with the knowledge of his will, Colossians 1, verse 9. When we're willing, we're ready to know. It's as simple as that. When we're willing to do whatever, then we're in a place ready to accept it. And so let's look at the specifics, the mysteries about your mate or your job or the school or other unknowns. Are you willing to take whatever or whoever God places in your, or are you just going to be selective? I want this and this and this and this. Now, God often gives us our desires, but are we willing take whatever and whoever God places before us? When we're willing, we're ready to know. Where's the content, by the way, of God's will? I delight to do thy will, yea, thy law is within my heart. In other words, the Lord put the content of God's will in his heart. The content of his will be in his word. This is where God's will is revealed. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. Well, let me just give the very obvious things that are in God's will. Salvation is God's will. The Bible says he's not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. You see, God wants you to concentrate on your soul, first of all. You're listening today and wanting to know God's will for your life. First of all, His will is that your soul is converted. That you come to Christ. Is that not why He's put you in a position to listen to His Word tonight? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why are you looking beyond the salvation of your soul? Whether it be a school or a mate or a job. Why are you looking for temporal things when your soul is weighing in the balances and found wanting? Give attention to your soul tonight. Make sure you're saved. Make your calling and election sure. Salvation is God's will. Being Spirit-filled is God's will. You're looking for specifics and you're not Spirit-filled? The Bible says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And notice what He goes on to say. It's not His will to be drunk with wine. That's the context. It's not His will to be inebriated with temporal things and with things that hurt, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Is it the second blessing? You see, we have all of the Spirit that we can have, but does He have all of you? And does He have all of me? Are you following me? Is there that lock and key? Is there a closet in the depth of our soul that we're not giving to the Lord? He wants that key. He wants that corner. He wants that dark place that we're reserving to ourselves. The Bible says God's will is for us to be Spirit-filled. We're not Spirit-filled if we're keeping anything from the Lord. We need to pray that God's Spirit would fill us and break us. Spirit of the living God, fall upon me. Break me. Mold me. Fill me. And use me. Be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will. Sanctification, thirdly, we know is God's will. This is the will of God. And see, we need to concentrate on the very... God has made a lot of things very simple because He has said, this is the will of God. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Holiness is God's will. Now, He gives it in the prohibition form here, but it, just as well, and it says in other places, certainly, this is the will of God that you... walk in holiness. This is the will of God that you have a wife. This is the will of God that you have a husband. This is the will of God that you have pure thoughts and you have pure words and you have pure works. Sanctification is God's will. Purity of life is God's will. Purity of doctrine. Purity of thought. Purity of word. Let no bad language come out of your mouth. Purity of works. And right down the line, purity of dress, purity of music, purity in every way, purity in every decision. Do you subject every decision in every realm of your life to, does it edify? Does it control me to the point where I'm being led astray from the Lord? All things are lawful. Here's the area of liberty. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify. We make that decision. We subject every decision we make to, is this going to edify me or the person that's watching me do this? Does this control me to the point where I can't get victory? I have to do this. It's an area of liberty, but it's controlling me. It's absorbing my mind. It's absorbing my money. It's absorbing my life. It keeps me from prayer. Is there anything in your life? I'm not talking about sin. Obviously, that needs to be in our prayer closet to pray against, to pray that we'll be forgiven. But is there anything when you go into your prayer closet, any area of liberty, and it just dominates your mind and it robs you of your fellowship with God? Anything that prevents you from attending God's house that has absorbed you, whatever it might be? I told you how sports had a hold of me. I was watching the last play that I could watch before we went to the evening service. And I was just provoking Tanya and just vexing her soul. She'd sit out in the car and I'd watch the last play. So upset that the games were 4-7. Why aren't the games 3-6? Why aren't they so that the game ends before I head for church? You think that would never control you, but sports can, anything can control you. Anything that you allow can control you. All things are lawful. There's nothing sinful in it in and of itself, but does it control us? I told you about how I used to spend dollars every day for that game. What was that game?
Pac-Man?
No, not Pac-Man, but those things that came down and you had, I can still see them. I can still see them coming out. And I'm shooting them away and wanted to, you know, trying to... I was absorbed. Okay, I get 700. I got to do it again. I got to get more than 700. Whatever it was. Whatever it was, I put another quarter. Before I know it, it's 45 minutes. And I'm going up to the desk. Another dollar. And I was just absorbed. I'm trying to study. I was at West Virginia University. And these things are coming down in my mind. I was living for this game. And you think, you know, how immature, and it was immature, but anything can control you and me. And that's where we had to say, look, we got to get away from this. But it was in the lobby of my apartment building. Foolish, but it's something that can control your life. And whatever it might be a television program, it might be a sport, it might be anything. Does it rob you of your blessing? Does it keep you from God's house? Does it keep you from reading and prayer? Is it vexing your soul by the dominance it has over your life? Purity of life. Brother and sister, we need to be pure, wholesome, devoted to the Lord. The Bible teaches us that satisfaction is the will of God. This is the will, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you satisfied with God's direction in your life? Are you thankful for what He has placed and the lot that He's given you? The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Can you say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Thank you for where you've placed me in life. Thank you for my family that you've put me in. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my husband or wife, thank you for my children. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the trials you've put in my life. Are we saying, Lord, they have it better than I do? Why them? Why not me? The Lord wants us to be satisfied. He wants us to be saved, spirit-filled, sanctified, satisfied, submissive, teachable. When the Lord saved us, He made us a disciple. A disciple is a learner, Scripture friendly. Are you submissive? We come right back again to willingness, don't we? He told us to go and win people to Himself, to baptize them, to teach them all that He has commanded us, and put us on the end of being won by someone. Being baptized. We all were at the point where baptism is passive for the person that is being baptized. It's a picture of when the Lord saves us, we're passive, as it were. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're admitting we needed Him. It wasn't we that sought Him, it was He that sought us. And then we're put in a position to learn because we start at zero, don't we? Often we have to unlearn what we've learned. And the Lord wants us to be submissive. You can't teach someone that's not teachable. The Lord wants us to be teachable. Teachable. The Bible even says of elders that they need to have been men who were teachable. Not just men who can teach, but men who are teachable. May I say that it's God's will for us to serve Him, service or worship. The Bible tells us they continued steadfastly. They gave constant attention to doctrine, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers. Are you doing God's will that's obvious? Is it important to you? Are you giving attention to the truth? Are you giving attention to fellowship? Do you enjoy fellowship? Do you contribute to fellowship? Is it important to you to fellowship with the saints? Do you love God's people? Do you give attention to the Lord's ordinances, to His prayer meetings? And we come, what about the knowledge of the specifics? If you're saved and Spirit-filled and sanctified and giving attention to being satisfied and submissive, you're worshiping the Lord. All I can say to you about your school and your mate and our job and individual decisions that we have to make every single day is, like Ruth, go into the field and He will lead you. His providence will guide you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's not going to suffer you to go one day beyond when you need that answer. He knows the way that we take. There's no temptation taking us with such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And Paul even said that he felt that he was so tried above and beyond, even to despair of life. But he said God was faithful. When God wants you to know the school to choose from, the mate, the job decisions, He'll guide you. But you concentrate on what's known. You and I have to concentrate on what is obvious. And He will deal with what's not obvious, won't He? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord God brought the woman to the man, it says in Genesis chapter 2. And we can apply that. The Lord will bring your mate to you in due time. You present your body a living sacrifice. Give attention to not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. God will then make you to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But Lord, I want to know now. I want to know today. Well, He may make you to wait one more day. Concentrate on what you know is God's will, and He will guide you in what you don't know. And you know, He's a faithful and dependable Savior, isn't He? And He, all the while you're waiting, He's preparing you for that revelation. He's preparing you. And I've always told people, as far as mates are concerned, remember, that man or that woman is somewhere today in the world. So don't worry about who he is, but pray for him. Pray for her. They could be in church tonight. We hope that they're in church tonight, if you're of marriageable age. If they're not, maybe you're led to pray, Lord, chasten them so they'll get back in the path. So, willingness and knowledge of God's will are very important. May I say thirdly and lastly, what do we find after the will, the willingness and the knowledge? Teach me to do thy will. The working of God's will. The walking in God's will. He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Willingness, knowledge, and action. It says, thy will be done. Thy will be done. What does that mean? May it be performed. May it be fulfilled. God's will is not just an idea. Praise the Lord, it is fulfilled. It's something He wants to be done in your life. To be fulfilled, to be accomplished. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. What does it say in Colossians? That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. See how the walk proceeds from the will. The will is first, but the walk will follow. God intends for you to find His will and to do it. There will be time when we put the hand to the plow. First, we need to know what plow to put our hand to. Mind to the task. Willingness, and then God will give us the task to put our mind to finish. We set our priorities. Salvation, Spirit filling, holiness, satisfaction, and submission. May I say, are you doing those? You know those, but God wants you to do them. Salvation, are you hearing and thinking and praying? Are you asking the Lord to save your soul? Spirit filling, are you praying? That's doing God's will. Holiness, are you abstaining from fleshly lusts? Like Joseph, are you resisting? Are you rebuking? And when need be, you're fleeing from youthful lusts? Thy will be done after it's known. Are you satisfied? Jesus could say, I thank Thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Paul thanked God in the presence of all those people on the ship. The leper fell down and thanked the Lord for healing him. Are you doing God's will that's known? Submission to God's will. Paul joined or sought to join himself to the disciples. Some believed in Athens and adhered to Paul, like Dionysius and Damaris. You know it's God's will for you to submit to Him. Are you submitting? He doesn't want us to hesitate, vacillate when we know God's will. Why halt ye between two opinions? The Lord doesn't want halting. He wants obedience. Almost persuadest me. How many people live through life, well, I think it's God's will, but I'm not sure. And really, it's unwillingness. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll get right with God. Tomorrow I'll begin to pray. How many of us are in that state? Tomorrow, 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 later, later. Brother and sister, some of us have been saved long enough to we've met people that don't ever seem to go on with God. The first time we met them and the last time we met them, they're in the same state. A state of halting. A state of maybe later, you know, I don't know. Maybe. They're just never going forward. They're going in circles. Or they're going backwards. Behold, now is the accepted time. When is the time for us to do God's will when we've known it? Immediately. Now is the time. Colossians, tell Archippus, take heed to the ministry that thou fulfill it. Archippus, you're halting. You're going backwards. Take heed and start to go forward and start now. Yes, we need to consider what God's will is. But when we make the conclusion what His will is, there's to be no hesitation, is there? We commence His will, we continue His will, and we conclude the end of life. Having done the will of God, we obtain the promise. Jesus said, I come to do His will. And what did He say? I do always the things that please Him. We can sometimes comfort ourselves with, well, I know God's will. But to him that knoweth to do good, and that does it not, to him it is sin. What is God's will? As far as doctrine, to believe. Believing is doing. Believe the truth. It's not just a matter of, well, you know, I'll conclude whether it's true or not soon. Listen to truth. Conclude if it's truth indeed and start believing it. Believe in God's Word. Believe in the salvation of God. Believe in the deity of Christ. Believe that sin hurts us. Believe that God gives eternal life to those for whom Christ died. Believe the truth, brother and sister. Don't hesitate. Believe. Regarding your character, become godly. Become gracious. Become obedient. It's not enough just to know that we need to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. And begin to behave the truth. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith is action. Faith is acting upon the truth. Being merciful is acting upon the truth. You know, of the Lord, it says that He predestined, predetermined for us to be saved. Aren't you glad that He didn't halt and hesitate? Whom He predestinated, them He called. Whom He called, them He justified. Whom He justified, He'll glorify. Aren't you glad He's not going to halt between justification and glorification? Aren't you glad God isn't going to change His mind? And He wants us to determine to determine to do the truth, to find out what it is, and to do it. And that's where some of us are at this point. We're halting. We're hesitating. Do God's will. Believe the doctrines. Become like Christ. Behave like Christ. The Bible says, the last beatitude in the Bible, Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that know His commandments. Blessed are they that do His commandments. And of course, we know that you can't do His commandments without knowing what they are. We're talking about the whole Word of God. Beatitudes speak of what we are and what we do. Blessed are the merciful. So it's character, isn't it? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We want to become like Christ. It's not just doing things. It's becoming that's part of God's will, doing God's will. But there's also action in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that show mercy, the merciful. And then there's also passive obedience. Blessed are those that are persecuted for Christ's sake. That when we can't do anything about it, we just begin to be persecuted. There is that doing of God's will, accepting the circumstances and passively obeying when we're being persecuted. God is optimistic of us, brother and sister. He is. Hebrews 10:36 again, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Aren't you glad God is optimistic of us? He's more optimistic of us than we are. We're often so pessimistic of ourselves and cynical. Oh, we'll never move forward. I'll always remain the way I am. But God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ever ask or think. He intends to, who has begun a good work in us, to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to finish well. But you can't finish well if you don't begin on that path of finishing. John 4:34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of God and to finish His work. It wasn't enough for Him to begin well. And even in the middle of His life, He looked and said, I am going to finish well. I'm going to finish doing God's will. It's important for us to do God's will. Consider it. When you conclude what it is, make no hesitation. No more halting or vacillation. Do His will, brother and sister. And when those specifics come, if you have been doing those things that are very clear in God's will, it will be easy for you to be able to begin doing those things regarding the mysteries. You have no problem accepting the mate that God brings your way. Whatever, however they look, wherever they're from, we leave that to the Lord. When the Lord reveals, we receive it willingly. Whatever job the Lord gives, if you're knocking on the doors and you're pleading with God and you're obeying His clear will, and you're willing to do His will, God's going to lead you. For He promises to guide His people. If He commands us to work by the sweat of our face, if He commands us to have a good work ethic, is He going to leave us without a job? But again, first things first, are we willing to do His will? Do we know the clear things in the Scriptures? Are we giving attention to those clear things? We can then go out in the morning like Ruth and say, Lord, as far as I know, there's nothing between my soul and me. Lord, I'm willing to do your will. My soul and thee. Lord, I'm willing to do your will. Guide me. And he guided her. He guided her right to Boaz's field. That's more of a miracle than you realize. Guided her right to Boaz's field. Of all the fields. He's your shepherd. You won't want. You won't find the wrong job and the wrong mate if your heart is willing to do God's will. If you love the Lord and you're doing the clear things of the Scriptures, He'll guide you. And His timing is perfect, brother and sister. His timing is perfect. Are you trusting God for that? His timing is perfect. God's will on earth. Willingness. Knowledge. And performance. These three factors are very important. Give attention to them, brother and sister. Having done the will of God, we might receive the promise. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, to finish His work. Let's pray.